All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can find at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
I hope everybody who's been on the timeline the last few days has enjoyed the lovely pictures I've been posting of Zach.
I don't know how he found it. I think he like went on my mom's Facebook or something like that. But that means that we are in full blown not football mode. It's nice to, you know, get past all the football drama leading up to the draft and stuff. But we're still trying to crank out as much content as we can. So that brings us to part two of our 32-part series, previewing each team, looking at their how they handled their offseason, then going forward to the 2018 season. And we're keeping it in the AFC South after we had Robert Land of Locked On Texans on with us last week. And now we are going to be talking about the Tennessee Titans, Jaguars, arch rivals, both on the field and on Twitter. And to do that, we've got Locked On Titans here with us. We've got Jimmy Morris and Terry Lambert. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Good. How are y'all?
Doing good. Like I said, just trying to enjoy as much of not football stuff as I can. That was so dramatic leading up to the draft. It's like every year it gets to be more and more and more to a point where it gets too much. But so far, enjoying the dead part of the offseason. But that should just about take us right into where we want to start this off. So the Titans had a bit of a dramatic offseason. You know, leading up to the playoffs, there were questions about Mike Mularkey's job security. Then there was the report that he would be staying, and then there was the report that he was gone, and then there was the whole coaching search, getting Vrabel, and then trying to find his assistants. It all just seemed to be really dramatic, but once things kind of fell into place, how do you guys feel about the hiring and the staff that they put together?
Well, both of us had been talking about, really, even as the year went on, and, you know, the Titans were playing well, and they won a playoff game, obviously. But that, you know, Mike Mularkey, like what you were seeing from that team last year was the ceiling of what it was going to be with Mike Mularkey as the coach. Now, he did a really, really good job. I mean, took a team that was a disaster, you know, roster-wise, culture-wise, on the field, off the field. I mean, the whole thing was a mess. He cleaned that up, made them a competitive team 2 years in a row. So that was good, but he refused to change his offensive philosophy. And what they were trying to do on offense didn't work, you know, since Terry Rubisky was an offensive coordinator the last time, which was like the late 80s. So they needed to make a switch. excited about Vrabel, just, you know, you hear all the stuff about him and, you know, the leadership qualities and all that kind of stuff. And you can just hear him, hear the energy that he brings. More excited about Matt LaFleur, who they signed to be the offensive coordinator, you know, coming from the Rams under Sean McVay. Just really excited about what he's going to bring to the table for Marcus Mariota. You know, they'll actually maybe like use Marcus Mariota in a way that, you know, fits his skill set and try to, you know, tailor an offense to their franchise quarterback, which just seems like a pretty good idea. But that wasn't really what Mularkey and Rubisky had in mind. So we're excited. I mean, we're excited about a roster that's a lot better than it was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and excited about, you know, like I said, an innovative offensive mind, something the Titans haven't had, I mean, gosh, since Mike Heimerdinger the first time, like in 2000. So, I mean, it's been a long time since this team has been like this team has had an offensive coordinator that, you know, like I said, is like on the cutting edge of what the NFL is doing right now.
Now, you mentioned about trying to, you know, change things to make Marcus Mariota more comfortable and tailor the offense to his comfort level, whereas beforehand they were going with the, you know, exotic smash mouth, as it was called, with Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. Now Murray being gone, you've got Henry as the lead back, so it'll be interesting to see how he grows. But exactly what type of offense do you think they're trying to install with him, with Mariota, to try and make it seem like more of a better fit?
You're going to see more of a zone team, a zone running scheme. And you know, that's something that everyone kind of assumes is Derrick Henry's going to take over. They signed Deion Lewis, and I think there's a good shot that Lewis could kind of carry the load in this backfield, which is kind of an interesting dynamic for Henry, who has kind of waited his turn. And I think most people would say he deserves his shot, but it's still going to be a two-headed deal there with Deion splitting the load on passing down backs, passing down situations. But, you know, he carried the load in New England too. So interested to see how that plays out. But I think you're going to see a lot more play action. I think you're going to see them better utilize their receivers downfield. Just kind of simplify things. Everything seemed so complicated last year. Mariota was not on the same page with his receiver. You saw Mariota throw to a spot, and his receiver would run the other direction. And that's where a lot of the interceptions came from. You know, that's where a lot of the people that didn't really study the Titans or watch the Titans closely kind of have this misconception about Marcus Mariota. He still did some really good things. It was just a really ugly – there were some ugly spots in that offense last year.
And – you guys kind of shuffled around the running back room a little bit into free agency. You got rid of DeMarco Murray, who's still a free agent, and then you signed a guy like Deion Lewis, who, in his limited time in New England, looked like a stud at some times. So how do you guys just feel about those moves?
Yeah, I mean, DeMarco Murray was done, and one of the most frustrating things about last year was that the coaching staff refused to really make the shift and make Derrick Henry the lead back. Derrick Henry has issues. He's not, you know, so like the all-world running back that some people would have you to believe that he is. But it was clear last year that he was a better running back than DeMarco Murray. Don't get me wrong, DeMarco Murray came in 2 years ago, was unbelievable for this team. John Robinson made a heck of a deal to bring him in, and they wouldn't have won 9 games the year before without him. But last year, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, running backs hit a wall. They get to a point in their career where they just don't have their legs anymore, and that was where Murray was last year. As you say, he's still unsigned, so you can see that the rest of the league feels that way as well. But they refused to make that switch until really DeMarco Murray got hurt at the end of the year and couldn't play, and that was what forced their hand and made them let Derrick Henry take on the lead. And he had mixed results. He had a couple down games, one really good game, obviously, in the playoffs. So, you know, excited about what this will bring. Deion Lewis is giving them something they didn't have, a guy that's dynamic in the passing game. One of the biggest things that we learned about Derrick Henry at the end of the year last year was he couldn't pass block. And, you know, we thought that, you know, that they were using that as an excuse not to get him out there and all that kind of stuff. But those concerns proved not to be overblown because, I mean, I think at one time in that Jaguars game, I think he got Marcus Mariota killed. So, like, that was an issue. You know, you hope he gets better with that in a new system, you know, as he gets used to being in the league, more comfortable in that kind of stuff. Deion Lewis is obviously, you know, was the passing down back for the Patriots most of the time. And then last year, you know, for a few weeks there, he was the guy. So prove that he can kind of do both. He can come in and be your third down change of pace guy. We already knew that. But he also proved that he can shoulder the load. Now, a guy his size, I don't think you necessarily want him to be the guy that you're handing the ball to, you know, 20-25 times a game. But having the combination of those two guys, and then, like I said, having Lewis is, you know, just the dynamic ability that he has in the passing game, I think it's going to be a huge upgrade over what you saw last year.
Now, speaking of signing some Patriots, kind of turning into Patriots South, for the second year in a row, you guys have taken a cornerback from the New England Patriots, last year being Logan Ryan, this year being Malcolm Butler. What do you guys think of the signing, giving him $61 million over 5 years, and how does that shake up the cornerback room with Ryan in-house as well as now second-year player Adoree Jackson?
Yeah, I think that caught us, both of us, off guard. I don't think either of us had cornerback very high on the needs list. You know, you have Adoree Jackson there. You signed Logan Ryan, and then you had a couple of young guys who they like, and LaShawn Sims and Ty Smith. Just wasn't a huge need for me to see them go out and spend that kind of money on a corner was pretty surprising. But, I mean, in this league today, you can never have too many corners. So I think what it does is it makes Tennessee really, really deep at cornerback, which is something they haven't been in many years. So now instead of Bryce McCain trotting out there in nickel situations, you're going to have Logan Ryan, who's going to play the nickel. You're going to have Ty Smith as your 4 or 5, and you're going to have LaShawn Sims in that mix too. So the more and more we thought about it, the more we liked it. A little concerning, considering the the dip in play from Butler in the playoffs last year and the whole Super Bowl benching thing. But I'm sure these guys did their homework. I'm sure they know what the situation was there. So I really think the Titans defense got a lot better this offseason.
Now, before we take it to the draft where the Titans got even better on defense, let alone from some of their signings, I want to mention two things. One is a question – well, both questions, I guess. One, how does it feel to have former Jaguars great Blaine Gabbert in-house? And two, what would you consider to be the most, you know, under-the-radar signing that could actually end up benefiting the team long-term?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're obviously, you know, super thrilled to have Blaine Gabbert. Anytime you can get that guy, you got to take advantage of it. Yeah. No, but I mean, seriously, like, you know, Blaine Gabbert played well at times last year for the Cardinals. Obviously, beat both of our teams.
Yeah, you know, he looked good against Jacksonville. Yeah,
so not a whole lot we can say there. But for the Titans, they needed an upgrade at backup quarterback. You know, Matt Castle was the guy last year. He was terrible. They had Alex Tanny in camp last year. I think they're really hoping that he would beat out Matt Castle, and he regressed something awful. So they had to stick with Castle, and you know, he started against, I guess, the Dolphins, and he was really bad. He was done. So Gabbert's better than Castle, right? You hope he doesn't play. That's the thing that we're all praying for. But like I said, if he has to come in and play a week or two, Marcus has been hurt, missed at least a game in each of his first three seasons, and missed multiple games. So I mean, you know, you need a guy that can come in and at least hold the fort down while the guy's out. So I mean, hopefully he's better from that standpoint. You know, as far as under the radar signings, I don't know. And Terry, you can jump in here too. They didn't really, you know, the signings that they made were really the big headline deals. They brought in some depth at guard, brought in, you know, a nose tackle, Benny Logan, who, I mean, he may be the guy. Like, they haven't really had a true nose since they went to a 3-4. It's been quite a few years. They've kind of been making do there. I mean, Benny Logan's not a guy that's obviously going to, you know, give you a big pass rushing presence. He's not going to be on the field on passing downs. But he's a guy that's going to come in and you know, hopefully stuff the run on first and second down. That gives him something, like I said, that they haven't really had there. But I don't know that anything else is really, you know, that far under the radar.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because, like you said, every one of their signings or additions was big, big, huge news. I would point to Daquan Jones. A guy that they kept in-house, a guy that hit the market. He was really coming on in a contract year and becoming a part of this defense and even giving them some pass rush on the interior. So locking a guy like that up along with Jarrell Casey and adding a Logan, I think the Titans got a little better up front.
And now you guys made some moves opening night of the draft, trading up to get Alabama linebacker Rashawn Evans, and then in the second round traded up again and got another linebacker/edge player in Harold Landry. So obviously the Titans felt they needed to upgrade their linebacker/edge rusher group. Just tell me a little bit how you guys feel about those two picks.
Yeah, I think that was the one and two needs for both Jimmy and I. It was pretty cut and dry. I think we were both sold on taking a pass rusher there at 25. We were even maybe a little disappointed that it was Evans at 23, excuse me, because we were all in on getting a pass rusher with Arakpo and Derek Morgan going into contract years. So no guarantee they'll be back past this season. So the Titans needed a clear a plan of the future at edge. They ended up doing that and trading up in the second round. So you kind of got the best of both worlds there. I think Evans is a guy that's going to bring a lot of versatility, a guy that's going to stop the run, a guy that's going to come and maybe play down on the line of scrimmage in passing situations, and then you've still got Jayon Brown who's going to play in coverage. So a really interesting chess piece there. And then to get Harold Landry at pick 41 is just an insane value to me. One of the most athletic pass rushers on the board of the entire draft. So, try not to sound like a homer here, but I haven't loved what the Titans have done in a draft like this in a long time. It was a home run for me.
Now, after those two picks, the Titans only had two picks left in the draft. They took Dan Cruikshank, versatile defensive back from Arizona, and then Luke Falk, quarterback from Washington State in the sixth round. We talked about Gabbert being in-house during free agency, but do you think there's a chance that Falk will win his win himself a spot on the roster? And then also, what are you guys' thoughts on Cruikshank?
Yeah, I mean, I think Falk makes a roster. I think probably the hope is that he's the backup in 2 years. So, you know, you're looking at the 2019 season that he would be the guy. You know, and he's obviously a guy that's going to need some developmental work. Came from, you know, Mike Leach in that system. So they'll have a little bit of work to get him acclimated to the pro game. You know, don't anticipate him pushing Marcus Mariota, obviously. But, you know, the plan would hopefully be that he can be your backup. If he gets a start or two and looks good, you can move him for value, right? With Cruikshank, you know, when you're looking at needs, especially on the defensive side of the ball, safety would have probably been the third need after your inside linebacker and your pass rusher, because they feel good about their starters. I mean, obviously Kevin Byard, all-pro safety. Jonathan Cyprian, y'all are obviously familiar with. I'm not his biggest fan, but they like him. They gave him a bunch of money, you know, so they feel good about that. But they didn't have anything behind those guys. They had cut Denoris Cersei, who had been here for a while, and so he was the guy that stepped in and played last year when Cyprian got hurt. So they needed some depth there. Now, you know, there's some chatter that maybe Cruikshank is going to play, or they might try him at corner first or whatever. And then they had the rookie mini camp this weekend, and they asked him about that, and he was, you know, like, it's a big secret or whatever. I mean, I think he's a safety. I don't have any, you know, real hopes that they're going to play him at corner. But he's a guy that, you know, won't have to play this year as long as everybody stays healthy. But again, you look at, you know, down the road, he can, you know, maybe again even in 2019 come in and, you know, replace Jonathan Cyprian. And then, you know, you've got him and Byard back there. You'd have two young safeties. So, you know, it was a weird deal because they traded up for three of their first four picks. Like, so they only came away with four picks in the draft. So, you know, they got criticized a little bit for that. But, you know, when you look at the value that they got with those first two picks, and obviously there's a reason Harold Landry fell. We're not 100% sure what it was. But when you look at just his production, especially 2 years ago, to get that guy in the second round, to get a football player the quality of Rashawn Evans at 22, you know, they're excited what they were able to do. And like y'all were saying, those are the two biggest needs that they had. They had to come away from this draft with hopefully a linebacker, an inside linebacker that can stay on the field for three downs, and then a pass rusher because, again, you know, I mean, Arakpo and Morgan are good, but like Terry said, they're in the last year of their contracts, and they're also, I mean, they're not young anymore either. And if one of them were to get hurt or whatever in 2018, they wouldn't have had anybody else. So, I mean, we were, yeah, really excited about what they were able to do.
Now, kind of piecing all of this together, as the season is slowly approaching, how do you really feel all these moves are going to make an impact on this year? Are they going to put Tennessee over the top, make a deeper playoff run than they did last year? Just kind of give me a summary of what you think is going to happen.
I think the offense is going to look a lot better. It's going to look just competent. Yeah, that was a big deal. The last season, just so many failed drives, so many three and outs, so many just 0-yard runs. So I think you're going to see more explosiveness out of this offense. You're going to see a more dynamic passing game and a better coaching staff that's going to better utilize Marcus Mariota's strengths. Now, it's hard to say it's going to translate into wins. You know, sitting here in May, it's hard to translate that. And, you know, really, the Titans have a pretty tough schedule on paper when you look at it. It's just hard to go down the list and say and really find concrete wins. So the weird thing about last year's team was they came out on top of a lot of close games. I'm not sure they can do that again. You'd like to say they could, but I think the offense is going to be better. I think the defense is going to be better, but I'm not sure it translates to more wins because I think that team last year overachieved.
Well, then that should just about wrap it up for us. Do you guys have any record predictions, anything like that?
like Terry said, it's so hard. I mean, I think they're going to be better, but I think they could be better and have a worse record. I just think there's a lot of the people that don't watch the Titans week in and week out, which is obviously the majority of the country. We go on a lot of these shows and get asked, well, you know, y'all think Marcus Mariota is the guy, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, we firmly believe that and 100% believe that he was just being held back by the offense, maybe by the offensive system. So I think that they're going to be a team that's going to actually be fun to watch this year, which, again, you have to go back to, like, Steve McNair, since that was actually really the case. Anybody wanted to tune in and watch this team. I mean, so, you know, we're excited about that. And, like I said, hopefully they'll get better. And, you know, hopefully they can find enough wins to be in the mix. I think they can. And I really do think they're going to have a chance to compete next year. Even with the playoff run this year, we still didn't feel like – I mean, we felt like they were better. We didn't feel like they were good enough, obviously, to go to Foxborough and win, and against the teams that were better. They got boat raced by the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. They match up well with the Jaguars, so, you know, we're able to win both of those games. Mm-hmm. But the teams with the high-powered offenses, they just didn't really have much of an answer for. So hopefully that'll change this year. You're better on defense. You've got an offense that can keep up if you get in a shootout. So I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, man, I think they have the ability. Everybody says healthy, all that stuff, you know, obviously. I think they have the ability to be in the mix.
Definitely, which, I mean, is scary. Jaguars have 1 year up at the top, and suddenly the Texans, the Titans are right there behind us, and then there's the Colts. But but thank you guys for joining us. We look forward to catching up with you guys throughout this season. You guys want to give you guys, your show and all your work a plug, where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find us. We're both right from UnityMiracles.com, covering the Titans for SB Nation. And then on Twitter, I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. And we have an account for the podcast at Locked On Titans.
Be sure to check that out, guys. If you guys are looking for any Titans work, get to know your enemy a little bit, Jaguars fans. Then as for me and Chris, we will be catching up with you guys later this week. We are trying to find someone to come top Colts with us. Since there still isn't a Locked On Colts host, we are working on that. We are also working to get one for the network, talking to a couple of my buddies, but we'll figure that out. We'll have something up later in the week talking, previewing the Colts season. Then we'll start heading into the rest of the NFL, but be sure to throw us a subscription on iTunes, follow on Twitter at Locked On Jaguars, at Zach_Goodall, and at Misto Cristofo. We will catch up with you later.